Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I heard Chaim Bloom talking about that the other day and talking about, you know, whether it's early in the game, late in the game, as long as he gives us quality innings. And I don't know, I'd look at it differently. Like, you know, three or four innings at the beginning of the game, you're still in a baseball game. You know, three innings at the end of the game, you're getting a W and you're all shaking hands. Do you view that the same?
I understand, you know, your point as far as like the last three outs or the last six outs, right? You have the lead. You want to maintain the lead, right? Celebrate the W. But at the end of the day, we still got to get 27. And he's done a good job so far. We are getting close to you know, the structure I'm looking for. And hopefully that's where we take off.
That was Core last week talking about Garrett Whitlock. By the way, real quick, today is a two for Tuesday. So in about 10 minutes, 7 minutes, actually, we'll be giving away a couple of tickets. And Gary Washburn, the Boston Globe, is going to join us at 3, getting us some Celtics. Now, I'll say this. A lot of times I kind of have some inside info. I don't have it on this one. But I'm telling you, I don't think Alex wants him in this rotation, Garrett Whitlock. You know, and it's he hasn't told me anything like that. I just don't. I don't know why he would. He just talked about the last three outs, the last six outs. Then he gives me the company line of, you still got to get 27. Yeah, I know that. But when you're winning in the seventh inning in the big leagues, it's got to be a W, period, end of story. And this guy goes out there once again, throws the ball well, but when he leaves, the game's still in the hands of a bullpen that isn't very good. Now, they pulled it out because they swung it. But I still don't understand it. I think that from what I had heard, that he's staying. Like, this is what he's doing. He's staying in the rotation because it's what's best for him. They want him in a routine. And I just completely 100%, I couldn't disagree with it more. Like, I just think it's the wrong move. And I'll never understand it for this ball club.
Wait, so there, I feel like there needs to be some more, like, you know, info, you know, discussed on this as far as why would you, is it because they served him up to you as a closer, as a middle reliever, and not a opening, and like, and not a starter? Like, what is the big deal with him being a starter? Like, why is there such an issue with it when it's not like your starters are great either?
I think your starters are good. I don't think your starters are the problem right now. And this would be the biggest question I had. If you want him in the rotation, if it's what's best for him, if you want him on a routine, why didn't he start the year in the rotation? If this is your decision, like as an organization.
What else was going on at that?
Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah, like you knew Chris Sale was going to be, was hurt the first week of camp. You knew you needed a starter. You chose Tanner Houck to go in the rotation and put Whitlock in the pen. If this is what's best for him, if you wanted him in a routine, why wouldn't he just start the year in the rotation? Like, and put Houck in the bullpen? Like, why didn't you do what? Why'd you wait 2 weeks once the season started to put him in the rotation? If this is what's best for him, I don't get it. Or did the extension come into play?
I think you just hit it right there.
Ding, ding, ding.
Because Garrett Whitlock is going to cost you more money as a starter than if he is just a rotational guy. So you start him in the rotation in the bullpen.
What you think.
And you get to get him for, 4 years, 18.75.
They do Whitlock dirty?
How much did they save?
Well, there's $4 million in incentives, like as far as innings go. So if he becomes a starter, he can earn four more over the life of it. Ooh.
Over the life of it, not 1 year.
I have covered.
Like, he should be making 40 over the life of it if he becomes a starter.
I spent enough time covering the Patriots that when I hear incentives, like an alarm goes off in my brain of underpaid.
Yeah, that's right. No, but Ryan, you brings up a good point. We were talking about it last night on the little Talking Baseball. You are in the bullpen. Let's work out an extension. You know, like, so the value of what you are, we're cutting off basically just your arbitration years. That's all that was. It was a 4-year deal. It wasn't like an 8-year deal or anything like that, free agency. It was just arbitration. So when you go into the bullpen as an arbitration guy, you're making two. You're making like four. Maybe if you're a closer, you finally get to like nine,
maybe
10.
Maybe 9 or 10, yeah.
Maybe. You know what I mean? So they're like, hey, this is who you are. We're going to just give it to you up front. You take away all the risk. Look at these are the arbitration numbers for relievers. Boom, boom, boom. Well, okay, I'll tell you what. Now go over the arbitration numbers for a starter. A guy like this who's going to be a starter for the next 4 years. Let's go over those numbers because that's not 2, 4, and 8, 10, whatever. No. So if I start you in the rotation, the extension's got to look like arbitration starter numbers. as opposed to arbitration reliever numbers. So did they just leave him in the bullpen just to get an extension done? If you want him in the rotation, if it's what's best, why didn't you just start the year? Throw him game three instead of Hauk. If that's what's best for him. Why didn't they do that then?
So the season started April 7th. He signed his extension April 10th and I think had a couple games out of the bullpen from there.
But so it wasn't very long out.
No.
Nine days later, they put him in the rotation.
I know, but if you're, but your starters are... Evaldi's your one.
Evaldi, Pavetta, Waka, Hill, Rich Hill, Hauk. That's how it came out. And Hauk was probably supposed to be in the pen if Sale was healthy, but you knew that early on. You decided to put Hauk in there and not Whitlock. And I don't even know if they did him dirty. I don't even know if it had anything to do with the extension. But now we're so determined that he's got to be in the rotation? I'll ask Alex Cora tomorrow. Actually, 2:30 tomorrow. Not that we'll get an answer. But again, I still think that I don't think he wants him in this rotation. If you're, why would you want him in a rotation when the games are decided late because your bullpen is kind of leaky?
And you don't have a legitimate closer.
Yeah. Why would you want him in a bullpen? I mean, why would you want him in a rotation?
No, I would even say in four. So he started four games. So in four games, he's posted an ERA of 3.00 over 15 innings, strikeouts, 36.5%, with a 9.5% walk rate to go with a 1.13 whip. I would say, wouldn't you reevaluate it? Like if it was determined that he could actually be a really good starter,
not
wouldn't,
this team.
Wouldn't, I know, but eventually. So think about the issues that you've had every single year. Okay, Nate Evaldi, we already talked about. They're going to have to do some sort of negotiation to restructure. I'm sorry, to re-sign him. He may be gone. Paxton is not. I don't know. Is he a long term answer? Chris Sale is hurt every year, so you're looking at, and Rich Hill is old. So, I mean, don't you need somebody in the pipeline to get ready just in case?
To me, ideally, I would have liked Waka, Hauk, and Whitlock in your bullpen. That's my depth. Like, all three of them are starters. All three of them. But start the year out there. Now you got a legit bullpen. If you just added a starter, you don't want to go get Bassett. You don't want to go get all these other guys. Manaya, Montas right now, whatever.
You should
bring it on Sale. Sale goes down.
No, your point is you should blame it on Chris Sale. If Chris Sale started the season healthy, no issues whatsoever.
Maybe.
The bullpen would look differently.
Just because the Sale goes down doesn't mean your Hauk is in there, you're leaving the bullpen. You want Hauk in the bullpen, call up Seabold. See what he can do. I don't know, the kid down in AAA until this guy comes back. But I don't get it. Like, if it's what's best right now for him, why not just start the year? Because blowing games matter. Like, if you are a 92-win team, like talent-wise, which I still think this team was, if you blow eight games that you should win, you now won 80. You're 84-78. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're a 90-win team. You blow eight, you're 82-80. Like, you're not a good team. But you really are because, you blew games late because you don't have a closer. If this team had a closer, they'd be two games over 500. And they'd probably be in this wild card spot right now. And they don't have a bullpen. And they pretty much crapped the bed ever since this kid left that bullpen and joined the rotation. All right, we got to give tickets away. Be calling number 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. You're going to score a pair of tickets. See the Red Sox take on the Orioles. It's May 27th. Includes parking at the Prudential Center Garage. Now, driving to the game, you can park at the Prudential Center Garage where parking is just $20 for the game.
With me.
Yeah, or you can take the T wherever you go. It's time.
I will be there parking.
To take the T. Again, caller number 9, contest line, 617-931-0937. All right, I wanted to change subject here a little bit, get into these coaches.
Day two.
As we try to figure this out, Christian, I know this is something that is going to just stick to you, I think,
the entire time.
No,
because they
alone?
Spoke yesterday,
saying,
they speak again today. Like, again, back-to-back
you
days.
You got to pace yourself.
I can't.
Because we haven't even gotten into mini camp.
But this
Once
is it,
training
though.
Camp hits, you're going to be like, I know, but this question is not going to go away.
Well, I think you'll know.
And this is going to be asking Mac Jones, who are you working with? We saw you were talking to Joe Judge for 80% of the practice at training camp. Is he your
this
quarterback
will be
coach?
Easy. See, this is what the Patriots did. What they did is they bookended these coaches' meetings because the coaches have to speak twice during the offseason. It'll be different when the regular season. So they go back-to-back days. And then they're in phase two. So they're not doing anything. They're spot playing. So they're asking the same questions over and over again. And we're getting the same answers. And to me, this is a bigger sign and almost an admission of how screwed up they are. This is an admission of, like, we've been focusing on the players and playing better and all this other stuff. But in actuality, It's how unbelievably reset they need to make on the coaching staff.
Let me ask you. So yesterday, I felt like I never heard Tommy Curran's voice.
What?
Yesterday?
Wait, you mean
yesterday? Talking to the coaches. Did he miss the Zooms with all the coaches? Because I felt like he wrote an article. He's as confused as the rest of us. And today, I think he went to bed and just said, I have enough. I had enough. Because I feel like all these cuts we're about to hear are Tommy Curran asking every single one of these guys, you know, to try to figure out more of what is going on. Let's hear the first one, him talking to Gerard Mayo.
Is this all wasted energy on either our part or Bill's part to have this titleless thing that we're all fixated on? I mean,
I think so. I think so. And honestly, at this point, I could care less. I just want to go out there and play good defense.
All right. Yeah. So you followed up.
Yeah. Let's roll back to yesterday's conversation about titles and all that. And just one question I have regarding that. How does that make the football team better when there's ambiguity around the titles? Does it do anything to give you guys an advantage as to who's coaching what? Another team saying, oh, my God, I don't know who's coaching the linebackers over there.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't, you know, this is just me speaking. I don't think other teams really care, you know, like who's coaching what. At the end of the day, we're going to have 11 guys on the field, and we're going to go out there and try to put a good product on the field. So, look, I've always looked at myself as a football coach. It doesn't matter where you put me, safeties, linebackers, defensive line. It really doesn't matter. The skill that I've always held to a high standard was just the ability to learn. And if you're able to learn, you know, and really break down, you know, difficult concepts and simplify those things for people, then you could be a teacher. So I'm always that, like, teacher. After a while, like, I played linebacker my whole life. I've coached linebackers my whole life. So obviously I know a lot about the position, but I still know there's a lot about football just in general I have to learn. So I always try to take that approach to it.
See, that's the point right there. A guy like Gerard Mayo, I've played linebacker my whole life. I've coached linebacker my whole life, but I still feel like I can help with the safeties. No, I don't want you to. Like, I want your expertise. I want you to coach linebacking, something that you learned from high school to college, great coaching to the NFL, great coaching, the little ins and outs of playing the position. I want you to pass that on to a guy. I want you to recognize when a guy's doing something different because you know you're the expert linebacker, been doing it your whole life. You're the great teacher. I want him to stick with linebackers, and I want all these guys to stick with what they do best. I don't want him working with the corners, do you? How about the wide receivers? You want Mayo working with the running backs?
I would want him to work with the kickers. I feel like they should all. Is anybody else working with the kickers, or is it just?
Am I wrong?
Well, first of all, the first little answer that he gave as far as, you know, this is just me speaking, you know, I don't think other teams care. I don't agree with that at all. Like, this is just me speaking here, okay? But I wouldn't even know. How would Gerard Mayo even know? He was drafted by one team, played for one team, never left the state, went back and coached this team. He doesn't know what other teams do. He doesn't know how other organizations think. He only knows how this organization thinks, and that's it.
Yeah, that's right.
He may have some, you know, external knowledge based on guys that he played with that are now coaching in the league and how they do things differently. But let me tell you, this is not how they do things on other teams. Doesn't mean the Patriots are wrong and the other teams are right. I'm just saying, most positions are identified, and there's a clear hierarchy, okay? And I would also add this. So to your point, if everybody's coaching every other position, do you just have a bunch of average position coaches? Like, is anyone really good at the one position that they're supposed
specialty
to coach? Or are they just all just average at different things?
Christian, you hit on it there, hierarchy. Because hierarchy includes leadership, and that freaking matters, especially when you're hoping that some of these draft picks are going to start right away, when you're bringing back at least three guys from your previous draft, including your quarterback, who are supposed to make second-year jumps. If there's no leadership in the coaching staff, aside from Bill Belichick, and it sounds like maybe Matt Patricia is allowed to say where he's coaching, but the rest of it is like wishy-washy, I felt good about Josh McDaniels being in control of the offense last year, of knowing that Josh McDaniels was the angel and the devil who sat on Mac Jones's shoulder all through training camp, all through the season, like guided him through everything. That worked out well for Mac Jones for the most part. He was in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. So can we please just know who's leading the team aside from Bill?
Tyler,
what if I told you that Josh McDaniels was a 3-year defensive assistant before taking on the role of a coveted groomer of a franchise quarterback? So maybe in 3 or 4 years, Joe Judge transforms into a Josh totally McDaniels guru on offense.
Totally different.
It's not going to happen.
So
I know people keep bringing that up, though, Tyler. They bring up Josh. For the record, Nick Caserio picked me up from the airport, was a Gopher.
What did he drive
when
like?
It wasn't Jack Easterby? It wasn't Jack Easterby. When I was a free agent, he picked me up at the airport. No, you don't need to play the wayback music.
I didn't know what it was.
My point is that.
Was he one of those drivers that like accelerates and instead of braking, he just takes his foot off and then he accelerates again?
Very
like
cold and I couldn't wait to leave. And they put me in this crappy, no, they put me in a nice hotel. But the point is, so is Matt Patricia. So are all of them.
Listen, I always said before, like, it's a different sport than the one that I played. Because, you know, I've never seen, like, a pitcher be a hitting coach. I've never seen a hitter be a pitching coach. I've never seen an outfielder work with catchers. Like, I've never seen it. And all those guys are good coaches. They're good communicators. But to me, it means something, especially a player. Not every NFL coach is a player. But I feel like Joe Judge is a very good special teams coach. I feel like he knows special teams. I mean, I don't think he's as good at coaching quarterbacks as he is special teams.
Didn't he say yesterday?
We'll see. Maybe he is.
Along the lines of, I'm seeking out a lot of advice about coaching quarterbacks, about handling quarterbacks. Yeah. It's like, oh, cool. So we're gonna we're all gonna learn this together. Yeah, this
he's a
season.
Seeker of knowledge.
So I want to play real quick. So Tommy Carr went back at it again. This time with Steve Belichick. Yeah, Tommy, just you felt like you got to get involved. Go ahead.
How much are you guys in a position where it's, we'll see how it goes? Like this is just a blueprint what we're gonna put in now, and we don't know how it's gonna go with Raekwon McMillan or Cam McGrone or whoever. This is just a blueprint. It's not set, and it's going to be a developmental season defensively as you assimilate these guys.
Yeah, I don't look at it as developmental from the aspect of, like, you're starting with nothing and just kind of, like, see what you get and throw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you brought up an interesting word with the blueprint. So, you know, in terms of building structures, you know, you need a blueprint going in and you build a structure, and I'm sure certain things happen along the way. I've never really built a house or anything like that.
What are we doing?
We'll try some of that stuff out and see how it looks. And if it looks good, we'll keep going that direction. If it doesn't, then, you know, we'll try and do what we feel is best for the team. So we're just, you know, working through what we got and kind of see how it shakes out. But we absolutely have a plan going forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, since he loved that metaphor so much, like he was like, ooh, blueprint, since you brought that up, you know what they have? An architect, an engineer, carpenter, a general contractor. They don't say, hey, you're pretty good engineer. Like, why don't you go do the plumbing? Since you're so good at that, you know houses. Why don't you flush my toilet? You know what? We're putting in the kitchen right now. Our carpenter, he decided not to come back today.
So the landscaper is going to come do it.
Yeah, so why don't he's good. Like, he knows.
He knows life.
Hedges are a lot. Well, like counters.
When guys like builders like build the foundation, they look at it and say, what do you think? I don't know. Good enough. What do you think? I don't know. It looks good. Let's keep going.
You know what? I don't care.
And then they
build
a house and they're like, damn, I think we screwed up the foundation.
I've never really built a house or anything like that. But when I build maybe my daughter's playhouse,
certain obstacles
come my way.
Like the dream bathroom.
Wait, I'm going to go one more because Curran went back at him. They started, what, messing around, goofing around or something?
This is how this whole shebang started.
Next question, Tom Curran, followed by Phil Perry.
Hey, Steve.
What's up, Tom?
How you been?
Been good. How are you?
All right. Why
just all right?
You know what? I'm actually top of the world. It is a nice day. We had 90-degree temperatures coming this weekend. It couldn't really be a lot better, to be candid.
Well, you need to be honest with yourself, because the first time I asked you, you said you were just all right, and now you're on top of the
world. Well, you know, honestly,
I don't know what to expect from you.
Here's the thing. We get on these, and some of these questions are sticky. So, you know, we got so much respect for the work you guys do, and then we put you on the griddle a little bit and say, hey, how's this? And you don't want to put you guys in a spot, but you got to ask it. So let's put you on the griddle.
Yeah, just go ahead and fire away. Whatever you got.
What are we doing?
What do you mean that guy can't run meetings?
What are we doing?
So he's throwing dollhouses. Okay, listen. So here's the thing, though, Lou Mego. I feel like this is an admission of how unbelievably behind their coaching staff is. Like when you talk about, prepping a coaching staff for losses of coordinators to other head coaching jobs, there's always been a pipeline. There's always been a succession plan. Like this guy started off, you know, picking up guys from the airport. He was a Gopher. Then he became a position coach. There's always been an obvious transition plan. They need to, maybe they're right. maybe they are. Maybe Bill is trying to play like his own version of the Hunger Games and find out who the best coordinator is going to be when it's all said and done. Is there any? Could there be any truth to that?
Well, yeah. Listen, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. When we come back, I want to play the sound of Joe Judge because he gets into more as far as play calling goes, and I also want to talk about how this impacts one Mac Jones.
I don't know what to expect from you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.